You're listening to Old Testament Character Podcast 62 on Huldah the Prophetess. Maybe you've not heard of her before, but if you've read the whole Bible, you've seen her name several times. Perhaps it didn't register. We tend to be more familiar with the male prophets, the big ones like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and maybe not so familiar with the female prophets, that is, the prophetesses. Well, we're going to be studying 2 Chronicles 34 today. And it's not just because that's what I'm reading in my quiet time. It's because I realized I had miscounted the Old Testament character podcast, and so I needed this extra one here. So I thought, why not Huldah? Fascinating character. Major impact, even though to you and to many, she may be a minor character. In fact, she's only one of three named prophetesses in the Old Testament, which identifies Miriam and Deborah as prophetesses by name, Exodus 15, Judges 4. Now, there's also the wife of Isaiah, who's called a prophetess. That's in Isaiah 8. Judaism adds a few more, Sarah, Abigail, Esther, but they're never actually called prophets or prophetesses in the Bible. Now, when you come to the New Testament, we don't have many more. We have Anna or Hannah in Luke chapter 2. We have Philip's four daughters who are not named, even though we see in Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians 11 that many women were prophets, the names are gone. Now, we also have two false prophetesses, one in each testament. There's Noadiah, an enemy of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 6, and then there's Jezebel, not the Phoenician pagan wife of Ahab in the Old Testament, the one who we call Jezebel in Revelation 2:20. And that's really it. Well, I'm going to take us through our text, see what we can learn about Huldah, and see what we can learn about God. So I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and this is the occasion where the long-lost book of the law, quite possibly Deuteronomy, is discovered during renovations to the temple and construction work. And the priest, Hilkiah, finds this. This is in 2 Chronicles 34:14. And then he speaks to Shaphan, the secretary. And then Shaphan brings the book to the king and alerts him that we're in trouble here. And we're going to pick it up in verse 19. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. Well, the year is 621 BC. The book of the law is discovered. Josiah understands that the people of God have not done a good job in following the law at all. And he wants to get the message out to the people of Judah. Of course, the northern kingdom of Israel, those 10 tribes, that's gone. There are a few people left, but basically they've been taken into captivity. But maybe there's some hope for the south. And in fact, it will be a few more decades before the south is taken by the Babylonians and before Jerusalem is destroyed. Now, what I want us to focus on is what happens next. He said, Josiah the king said in verse 21, go inquire the Lord for me. Now, look what Hilkiah the priest does. We're going to read starting in verse 22. So, Hilkiah and those whom the king had sent went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Sokhat, son of Hasra, keeper of the wardroom. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her to that effect. Ah, see, Josiah says we needed to inquire of the Lord. The priest, who's a man, all men were priests, I mean, all priests were men, he goes and sends for Huldah. Huldah is the one to talk to. Okay, well, this is important. The people of God are in trouble, and there's a righteous king, Josiah, and he wants to get it right. And so he knows Huldah is the one. Hokiah went to Huldah. We continue. And she said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, and that man who sent him to me is the king, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants. All the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. And they brought back word to the king. And basically, the king gathers the leaders, the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and it's the beginning. He wants them to know what the word says, and it's the beginning of a revival, a huge overhaul in the faith of Israel, which has seriously lapsed. So what do we learn first about Huldah, the woman on whom we're focusing here? Well, as mentioned, she's one of three named prophetesses in the Old Testament. By the way, her name is the Hebrew word for mole, as in the little mammal that goes underground. She was married, as we read, and from a prominent family. And I think that means that she's somewhat high up in the hierarchy. So is her husband. And Huldah realizes the spiritual seriousness of the situation. That is, that God's people have gotten away from his word, that there's a need for repentance and obedience. She knows it's serious, and she responds accordingly. She's not in denial. She doesn't write a list of suggestions in some kind of memorandum. She speaks with full authority. I mean, she actually says, thus says the Lord. That's the signal indicator that, well, someone is claiming to speak by the authority of God. And she's not only aware of the seriousness of the situation, but she's willing to convey challenging words to the king himself. I think that's admirable in any century, in any society, because even in our day, many people who make suggestions that might have a critical edge, in many countries, they're imprisoned or they're shut down. They're muzzled. But she's willing to take that chance, and she speaks clearly and authoritatively, apparently the priest knew that that was what she would do. And what's really amazing, the king listens to her. He listens to her. He respects her. Just think how much better life would be, families would go, how healthier churches would be if major decisions were made in consultation with women or by groups of men and women together instead of male-only circles. Your best advisor, if you're married, is almost certainly your wife, and vice versa. If you're married and you're a woman, then probably your best advisor is a husband. But we desperately need the wisdom of females. I enjoy when I teach from Proverbs pointing out that the word wisdom, chokmah, is feminine in Hebrew. And same in the New Testament, Sophia is feminine also. We men have a lot to learn. So those are some things we learn about Huldah. Now, and she only appears in that passage and the parallel passage, which is basically the same story, which is in 2 Kings, but we read from 2 Chronicles. All right, finally, what do we learn about God? Well, first, God can speak authoritatively through a woman just as easily as through a man. Maybe there's a lingering residue of a notion that God is somehow male, because in art, he's always portrayed as male, normally bearded, strong, old. But as I argue in my podcast, The Gender of God, God's not male or female. By analogy, yeah, he's male and we're all female. But because the church is in that relationship to Christ, we are the bride, Christ is the groom. But that's just an analogy. It's not like one gender is superior to the other, even though in our world, nearly everywhere, it is assumed or implied that men are better than women. But here we see, and it's not just in this passage, but we see that God can speak authoritatively through a woman or through a man. It's no problem. And we have the other prophetesses of the Old Testament. We have Deborah, who's more like a head of state. I mean, she's a judge over Israel, or at least over many tribes, and she's got that authority. We see Paul's ministry colleagues, a huge number of whom are women. Now, he actually names quite a few, and I'm trying to remember what the percentage is, maybe 30% or 40% of the colleagues he names are women, but I could well believe it's half of them. He probably had close relationships to some of the men he was training. That makes sense. But in the Bible, it's not as though men are superior to women. Now, secondly, God holds us responsible for our knowledge of his word. When we learn something, when we learn the truth, Yahweh expects us to act. We need to get moving. We need to talk to the right people, people who will not be yes men, yes women, but they will tell us what is true. And then we need a plan, and we need to share it and do something. And it's very inspiring what Josiah attempts to do, even though ultimately he fails. Yes, it's a revival movement, but too many kings of Judah had disobeyed leading up to the time of Josiah. And it was different in the revival under Hezekiah, about 80 years earlier, but there's been a run of bad kings, and there won't be, Judah won't exist much longer. But still, the Lord was pleased, because we're supposed to do what's right, even if we have a feeling it might not work. I know, I'm being simplistic, and we need to act with wisdom, but think about that point, because the Lord was pleased that he listened to Huldah, and he strove for righteousness. The king strove for obedience to God's law. And in trying to get the people of God on track, the contribution of women, those contributions are just as important as those of men. Well, there we have it, Huldah the prophetess, who joins Miriam and Deborah as one of only three named prophets, female prophets in the Old Testament. Now you know about her. Ponder these passages, think about them, because the Lord is teaching us something. Thank you for listening.